Call Back the Past.
...1936 was a year of financial crisis as France, Switzerland, and Holland abandoned the gold standard and Italy devalued the lira. But above all, 1936 will be remembered as the year of three kings. It started late in January with this announcement.
This is London. Following bulletin was issued at 9:25. The king's life is moving peacefully towards its close.
Shortly after midnight, George V died, and a new king, Edward VIII, spoke to the empire.
It has been an ancient tradition of the British monarchy that the new sovereign should send a written message to his peoples. Science has made it possible for me to make that written message more personal and to speak to you all over the radio.
But a royal drama was about to unfold as Prime Minister Baldwin cautioned Edward about gossip of a romance between himself and a divorced woman, Mrs. Wallace Simpson, warning him that marriage to her would damage the respect of the throne. An agonized Edward finally chose, as he put it, the woman I love, and faced his ex-subjects with this painful farewell.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness Prince Edward.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything, but until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. A few hours ago, I discharged my last duty as king and emperor. And now that I have been succeeded by my brother, the Duke of York, my first words must be to declare my allegiance to him. This I do with all my heart.
The abdication created consternation for many, particularly for many businesses, all prepared to cash in with coronation souvenirs. The producers and writers of The Coronation Review had to burn the midnight oil to change the script and songs, and finally made it in the best Show Must Go On tradition, in which Benny Hale sang,
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at half past 11, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with me dinner, and a nice cup of tea with me tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
The defeat of Joe Louis by Max Schmeling shook the boxing world in 1936, the year of the Berlin Olympics. Führer Hitler opened the games.
Ich verkünde die Spiele von Berlin zur Feier der 11. Olympiade neuer Zeitrechnung als eröffnet.
That was Herr Hitler announcing it open. Now they're all cheering him, and the whole crowd have raised their right arms. Now this is the hymn, the Olympic hymn, and there is Bishop Strauss is conducting it.
Apart from the record books being rewritten at the Olympics, the literary world of 1936 offered poems by Dylan Thomas, the founding of Life magazine and of Penguin Books, and Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind, which sold over 1 million copies in less than 6 months. Kaufman and Hart's You Can't Take It With You and Terence Radigan's French Without Tears were plays of the year, as was Tonight at 8:30 by Noel Card. Card himself performs with Gertrude Lawrence in an excerpt characteristic of his staccato style.
Are you engaged for this dance?
I was. But I'll cut it if you promise to love me always, never let anything or anybody come between us, ever.
But of course that's understood. I saw you in the ballroom. I wondered who you were.
My name's Victoria. Victoria Maud.
Mine's Simon Gayford.
How do you do?
Quite well, thank you.
I suppose you came down from London for the dance?
I'm staying with the Bursleys.
What do you do?
I'm in a bank.
High up in a bank? Or just sitting in a little cage, totting up things?
Quite high up, really. It's a very good bank.
I'm so glad.
How lovely you are.
No, no, no. That came later. You're skipping.
I'm so sorry.
You're nice and thin. Your eyes are funny. You move easily. I'm afraid you're terribly attractive.
You never said that.
No, but I thought it.
Stick to the script.
In the Middle East, 1936 saw the passing of Egypt's Fuad I and the accession of Farouk, while in Palestine, the illegal Haganah movement was active. Chaim Laskov.
The British tolerated the Haganah as long as it was really passive. Once it became active, of course, then it did not coincide with the pro-Arab attitude of the British government. Chamberlain thought that if we'll adopt a restrictive attitude to Zionism, immigration, Jewish activity, Haganah activity, what have you, limit land sales to Jews, then the Arabs will somehow, in the end, when the chips will be down, rally to the British cause in case there'll be a war in Germany.
Herr Hitler addressed the Reichstag at noon, confirmed the denunciation of the Locarno treaties and the reoccupation of the Rhineland.
Erstens, die deutsche Reichsregierung erklärt sich bereit, mit Transfreihofzeugen über die Bildung einer beiderseitigen entmilitarisierten Zone sofort in Verhandlungen einzutreten.
There was no doubt that a war was imminent, though many refused to acknowledge it. In Spain, Franco seized power, aided by Germany and Italy's Mussolini, who himself had moved into Addis Ababa to complete his Ethiopian campaign.
Italiani e italiane, in patria e nel mondo, ascoltate. Con le decisioni.
The destiny of Ethiopia has been sealed this day, Mussolini is saying. All knots have been cut by our shining sword. At last, Italy has her empire.
Gran consiglio del fascismo, un grande evento si compie. Viene suggellato il destino dell'Etiopia oggi, 9 maggio, 14esimo anno dell'era fascista.
...1936 at the movies brought James Cagney, Joe E. Brown, Dick Powell and Mickey Rooney together in a send-up of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, and Leslie Howard and Norma Shearer as the barred star-crossed lovers Romeo and Juliet. It also provided a child star as Bobby Breen sang... In a year of aviation records, South Africa received a mention as Amy Mollison flew from London to Cape Town in the record time of 3 days and 6.5 hours.
She's swerving round now in her green monoplane, the same Percival Gull plane in which she crashed at Columbus Shire and which has now brought her to triumph in Cape Town. She's coming down now on the far side of a drome. She's against a rather lovely background of clouds on the far side of a drome. She's turning round now, banking, and coming slowly down. There's a great deal of excitement, a very large crowd, and this is a very thrilling moment indeed. A great moment of triumph. There she is coming down. She's just above the low screen of bushes on the far side of the drome. She's down now just above the line of a tiger bird. Down there, she must be 40, 30, say 20, 15, 10 feet. She's down now. She's touched. Amy Mollison is in Cape Town.
I'm told that I'm direct to London. If that is so, it seems rather marvellous that I can reach London so quickly. I send my love to my husband and my...
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.